From Cambridge 105, this is Election Studio.
So the Prime Minister has called a snap general election. We've called a snap election panel. And over the next half hour or so, we're in the company of political bloggers, Chris Rand and Phil Rogers, to chew over not only the general election, but also the Cambridge mayoral race. And in case you've forgotten, there's also county council elections. And for that matter, a couple of local by-elections as well on the city and district councils too. Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks very much for coming in.
Good evening.
So where do we start? Well, I suppose it has to be the national story, really. And in the city of Cambridge, it's Julian versus Daniel, round three. Who do you reckon's going to come off best with this one?
Well, absolutely. It stands at 1-1 at the moment, and it's looking very much like it's going to be a tight contest again this time. I've heard suggestions that some people think with Labour's situation in the polls and how they're perceived that it's going to be a lot easier for Julian this time, but I really don't think so. I think Labour's still very strong in the city. They've got an effective campaigning organisation and quite a lot of support. Lib Dems, of course, will be campaigning very hard as well, but I think it really could go down to the wire this time.
And despite the fact we may get half a dozen candidates, maybe even more, it still really is a two-horse race between Labour and the Lib Dems in the city of Cambridge.
I think so, yes. I think I was, in fact, just before coming into the studio, I was reminded of something that happened back in 2015 when the Conservatives put a picture of their candidate on the web with a URL including the words non-target candidate.
Oh, this was Chimali Fernando.
Yes, who had a pretty rough time of it, actually. I felt fairly sorry for her by the end of the campaign, but there you go. But she scored just 15.7% at the last polls, and the Greens were some way further back. So I really think we're looking at another two-horse race in Cambridge.
Chris, well, you're technically outside of the city. You could have been in it. You could have been one of us. But Teresa just couldn't wait.
That's
the
right.
Boundary changes.
Yeah, we were going to have boundary changes, of course, for the next general election, which would have brought our little bit of Queen Edith in the south of the city inside the city boundary. But she's called a general election before then, so we don't get the boundary changes. And in fact, you know, whatever happens now, those boundary changes will be thrown away and they'll never happen. So it'll be very interesting.
They'll be thrown away for good?
Yeah, they will, because the data, it was already being criticised for the data being out of date that they were based on anyway. So there's no excuse now for bringing them in what will presumably be 2022. Interestingly, of course, it could affect Queen Edith because Cambridge could grow further and we could end up with the numbers going wrong and someone having to go again, you know. So there was that little window of opportunity for Queen Edith to come back in to Cambridge, but not going to happen. So, yeah, we're still in South Cams, and certainly our MP, Heidi Allen, has said she's going to apply to stand again, and I can't believe that the Conservatives will not adopt all their sitting MPs as candidates.
So I'd like to talk about Heidi in a moment, but just quickly looking at the city of Cambridge, looking in from afar, from Queen Edith anyway.
Yeah.
How do you see it? Do you agree with Phil that
it's a two-horse race. I think there's a lot of, you know, unknown knowns and known unknowns, with particularly there was a lot of thinking that in the last election that the students had a big influence on it, and of course whether they will do so this time, because
students can choose where they vote, can't they? I seem to remember they can either vote where they're at college, or they can register back home with mum and dad.
But it wasn't just the votes from the students, which you know, we don't really know how they go, but it was also the campaigning by the students. You know, it has a lot of impact if you get a lot of people out in the streets, and certainly the Cambridge University Labour Club was widely praised for its efforts in the last election, and that sort of thing. Well, of course, that's going to be very difficult for students this time with it, you know, the election falling in exam time, the campaigning side. They'll find time to come out and vote, but the campaigning side is going to be difficult for them.
So they won't be able to remind Dr. Huppert of tuition fees then, in which case?
Well, I think that's a bit of a while ago now, but maybe that would stick.
Memories, perhaps.
Yeah, so that's one issue, I think, which might come into it. And, you know, there are others. We must also remember that in the last election, although Julian Huppert lost, he had something like the fifth or sixth best performance of any Lib Dem MP out of 600 or so. His campaign last time wasn't bad, to say the least.
Well, Tim Farron already seems to have a season ticket to Cambridge, so I presume we'll be seeing him on many an occasion over the next few weeks.
Quite possibly, because obviously this will be a target seat for the Lib Dems, you know, big time. But they're going to have to spread themselves very thinly. Because they're going to have a lot of targets.
Well, I was going to say, that's the thing. They don't have many seats at the moment, do they? 9, I seem to remember. Phil, you'll know this number off the top of your head correctly.
That's right, yes. We were hoping to add to that in the Manchester Gorton by-election, which looks like it may well be postponed now because the poor old MP there would be elected just in time to see Parliament dissolved for the general election. So, but 9 at the moment, down from 50 mumble before the last election.
Back to the 1970s taxi again, isn't it?
Not a happy time for the Lib Dems, but there's prospect of a considerable number of gains, and there's some interesting analysis we were just looking at in one of these articles about why there wasn't going to be a snap general election because
there's lots.
Well, that's right, because the Lib Dems are actually threatening to recapture quite a lot of those Conservative seats, particularly in the southwest.
And it's the Conservatives, is it, who are the main target for the Lib Dems across the country? Is Cambridge a bit of an aberration of going for a Labour incumbent?
That's right. If you look at the list of Lib Dem target seats, Cambridge is actually right at the very top. It requires the smallest swing of, I think it's 0.58%, in order for the Lib Dems to recapture it, with just that wafer-thin 599 votes last time. But going down the list, I think of the top 15, 20 or so, the bulk of those are Conservative. There's one or two SNP seats, which look pretty difficult and challenging for the Lib Dems, and indeed anyone else who isn't the SNP in Scotland now. But the bulk of those are Conservatives. I think the next Labour one is Bolton or something like that.
Hmm. One of the interesting things people are talking about, you know, Theresa May's gone to the country because there will be, you know, she will get herself a huge majority and this sort of thing. I think a lot of people, including the Conservatives, are a bit cagey about whether this massive majority is going to happen.
She might get herself a different majority,
rather than the massive thing. You've got to remember that the Conservatives did do very well last time, better than expected. So, you know, they're at a decent position. If the Lib Dems take some seats from the Conservatives, they'll also probably take some seats from Labour. And if you take some seats from Labour, that doesn't dent the Conservative majority at all. And that's possibly something we could talk about with the council elections later, you know, the way that sort of thing happens. It's not necessarily, you know, a foregone conclusion that the size of the Conservative majority would reflect what appears to be a fairly unassailable lead in the polls.
Mm. Now, Heidi Allen, who is, of course, the Conservative incumbent for South Cambridgeshire, not only did she slip very comfortably into Andrew Lansley, Lord Lansley's old seat, but she also managed to add a few percentage points to the majority there as well. That was a phenomenal victory for her just a couple of years ago.
It certainly was, as an unknown coming into that. I guess Lansley had a bit of a mixed relationship with his constituency, but even so, a big candidate like that to step into his shoes was amazing, and I think she was pushing 50% of the vote in the end, which was astonishing. Now, I think she's, you know, there are issues with the Brexit thing, which, you know, she's gone along with the government by and large, although
She's a different type of Conservative, isn't she?
Oh, very much absolutely. Everybody knows that and appreciates that, and I think she's hugely well-liked.
But is that appreciated by those people on the local Conservative Association within South Cambridgeshire?
Possibly less so than amongst the electorate, in fact. You know, I don't find many Lib Dem or even Labour voters who actually have much of a bad word to say against her. She's considered to be a little bit of a maverick because, you know, she's right in the centre, and the Conservative Party, if anything, have been pushing more to the right. So, and she's prepared to stand up and say so, which has been great. But, for someone from myself who counts myself as an independent, it's lovely to see someone standing up against their own party. But, you know, when push has come to shove, she's had to say, well, this vote's going to go that way, whatever I do. Am I wasting my time and just creating trouble? all by voting against it and gone with it. And people will look at her voting record and, you know, some people say, yeah, you know, there's a lot of talk, but does she deliver when it comes to it? And with things like Brexit, you know, that's going to be an issue for her. But I don't think there's going to be any issue, you know, with her getting re-elected, even though she did say yesterday straight away that she was very nervous about it as soon as she heard
it. Goodness me, yes. I just was trying to remember earlier, I should have looked this one up. Theresa May is, one assumes, going to win the election. It's only the makeup of the parliament that we have to wonder about. So she's not going to be in office for short periods as Sir Alec Douglas Hume was in the 60s, which is, I guess, would be the shortest prime minister in, I say, living memory, not in my living memory, but he was only there for a year or so, wasn't he?
Yeah, I don't know, actually. That's a good stat. We should probably look that one up.
Absolutely.
We'll have it on standby for election night, just in case it comes later on.
But I think you always have to say, unless something unexpected happens, because the story of politics over the last 2 years has been that unexpected things do happen. And, you know, we've seen Trump, we've seen Brexit, we've seen all sorts of excitement in the Labour Party. Really, who knows? All sorts of things could be happening in 2 years' time that nobody would predict.
We do have some breaking news, which we should probably bring you at this point. We heard earlier today that the former Chancellor, George Osborne, was not going to be seeking re-election. So too the Labour MP, Gisela Stuart, who I think was... was born a German national, I think. She's chosen not to stand for re-election in the Birmingham Edgbaston constituency. Now, she was very much a pro-Brexit person, wasn't she, despite her European heritage?
Yes, that's right. I heard her on the radio this morning, actually, on a different station, I'm afraid.
But other stations are available. They're not as good.
But yes, she was very much on the sort of Brexit wing, and I don't think she's particularly happy with the current direction of the Labour Party, so not a huge surprise actually that she's standing down.
Okay, let's take a quick look then at who will be attempting to run against our local MPs if we can. Not everybody has declared. In Cambridge City, the Greens have already declared, haven't they? They've had a candidate in place for a couple of weeks, and Stuart Tuckwood.
Yes, that's right. Stuart Tuckwood, who's an NHS nurse and has stood for the Greens before for council seat. He was the candidate in Market last year. And he's a very nice guy.
Scottish, quite personable, I suppose.
Yep. And I'm sure he'll be enjoying the campaign. He's taking over from Rupert Reid, who was the Green candidate last time. We don't yet know who the Conservatives are going to select, but I'm sure they're getting on with it even as we speak. And we don't know who UKIP are likely to select either. And there may, of course, be some independent candidates.
What do we think that the two parties who haven't announced a candidate yet will do? For example, the Conservatives, will they bring somebody in as training ground for a general election in years to come? Or will they say, nah, it's not worth the effort, we'll ask somebody to stand who's local, see what happens?
I think under the current circumstances, we've got not very long for them to get somebody in place, so they'll probably be looking for a fairly safe pair of hands. And whether that turns into someone local or someone who's parachuted in, I'm not sure. But really, the Conservative focus is going to be on seats outside Cambridge, so we're probably not going to see a very intense campaign from them here.
They're not going to ask Jamali Fernando to have another go?
I don't imagine so.
No. And for UKIP, last time around, Patrick O'Flynn, fairly high profile. I think he was their communications director at the time, amongst other things, although, like most people in UKIP, had a few spats along the way.
That's right. He was fairly high profile nationally for them, but he really basically did the minimum in Cambridge. He just retained his deposit by a whisker, and that was really all he was trying to do, I think. His focus, again, was pretty much outside Cambridge during the campaign. And, again, Cambridge is just not a very UKIP-y place. They'll be focusing on a small number of seats and trying to get back into Parliament and get a small number of MPs back in. But now that they've really achieved their key objective, you have to wonder where the UKIP vote is going to go. Will it go back to the Conservatives or will it stick with UKIP?
It's quite interesting because around the county we've already had, for example, Nick Clark, who has gone back to the Conservatives, former county council leader and stood, of course, for UKIP in the police and crime commissioner elections. He's not standing for anything, I don't think, unless he wants membership to head up his local golf club or something similar. Of course, Lisa Duffy has also said, a prominent local councillor, she's not interested in standing for Parliament anywhere.
Yes, I mean, Nick, I think, has switched from UKIP to Conservative to UKIP to Conservative, so he's quite used to switching between the two. I don't think we'll see him standing for Parliament this time, but who knows in the future? You never can tell. And there's always the possibility of some independent. We had Keith Garrett last time standing on a policy of removing the politicians. I'm afraid it hasn't worked, Keith.
It didn't. No, it's another not a particularly successful move. I remember him coming in, actually. He was snuck in at the last minute on the ballot paper, and I thought, dear, for the reasons of ballots, I have to try and interview him. Chris, in South Cambridgeshire, Dan Grieve did pretty well last time.
He did tremendously well. I mean, he came, he overtook the Lib Dems to take second place against a very strong Lib Dem candidate.
Sebastian Kindersley, wasn't it? Who's done so well chairing the county council meetings.
Absolutely tremendous, and you know, very well liked and respected locally. So, you know, that really did show the depths to which
what did for Sebastian last time? Was it Dan being exceptionally good, or were there factors which discouraged people from voting Lib Dem in South Cambridgeshire?
I don't think anyone really quite got to the bottom of it, to be honest. I don't think there was a problem with the Lib Dems, to be honest. I mean, certainly there were, you know, a lot of Lib Dem campaigning came into the city, without a doubt. So, I mean, you know, I think Lib Dems will be the first to admit that they didn't give Seb the support that he probably needed.
Maybe they took their foot off the pedal in an attempt to push Julian Huppert across the line.
You can absolutely understand. Mm. You know, but then, you know, you could say that, well, you know, maybe the same might be said for Labour. So, you know, Dan did very well. At the moment, Heidi Allen has said that she definitely wants to stand again if she's adopted by her party, but obviously she has to go through the formalities of that. The other three, I haven't heard anything, or four indeed, from them at all yet, but it would not surprise me in the slightest if the Lib Dems, Labour, and perhaps even UKIP and the Greens put the same candidates up again. The Green candidate, Simon Saggers, has stood before, so this wouldn't even be his second time. Seb Kindersley, exactly the same, he stood before. So, you know, they're used to it. You know, there would be the obvious choices for their parties if they were willing to stand, of course. And the nice thing about South Cams, it's very different from Cambridge. It's just wonderfully friendly. The candidates all like each other. They all seem to know each other. They enjoy being each other's company. They certainly give the impression of it. You know, even since the election, they've been seen together. They did a video together, the four candidates, not the UKIP one, but the other four, pro-Brexit for the referendum. Against Brexit for the referendum. Yes. It's a very sort of friendly atmosphere, and I know they enjoy that, all of them.
Okay, well, let's put the general election to one side for the time being. Something tells me we might be discussing that. And what seems to be a slightly more extended run of this series than we were intending when we started it all. We'll take a break. We'll do some travel. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the mayoral elections and also the county council as well.
Cambridge 105 Travel.
A14 westbound. We've got queuing traffic following that earlier accident. Two vehicles involved between junctions 33 and Milton and junction 32, which is Histon. We don't have any lane closures there. Just sheer weight of traffic, I think, whilst the accident works its way out of the system, as it were. A14 westbound, slow traffic between junction 31 and 28A. That's Robbins Lane in Lulworth. Hills Road in the city, that's also slow tonight. Around Fendon Road, the Addenbrookes Hospital roundabout. Temporary traffic lights. They've been there for so long, I don't think we really should be calling them temporary anymore, but still causing some considerable problems. Cambridge 105 Travel, I'll update you again at 20 to 7.
Cambridge 105 Travel.
Worried about your pet? Perhaps your cat's been off its food, or your dog looks under the weather? Come and see us at Vets for Pets. We offer a comprehensive range of treatments, from vaccinations and neutering to general health care and advice. There's also more specialist services of intensive care medicine and surgical procedures available. Visit our Cambridge practices on the Beehive Centre or Barnwell Road. Call Cambridge 243 535 or see our website, vetsforpets.com. That's vets, the number 4, pets.com. To book an appointment. Vets for Pets. We put pets first.
Join me, Tobias Bound, from 8 for Sunday Breakfast. My guest in the Cambridge Conversation is former Footlight writer and director Matthew Bulmer, whose involvement with countless shows during his undergrad days in Cambridge gave him the grounding for the theatrical work he undertakes now in education and the theatre today.
So the election panel is reconstituted by popular demand. Chris Rand and Phil Rogers are with me. We're going to talk about the mayoral elections for a little while. And have we had many leaflets for our letterbox? This is always an unending source of amusement to me.
Yes.
What have you got?
We've had leaflets from... certainly really good ones from the Lib Dems and from the Conservatives on the mayoral election. They're really pushing the boat out on that with some really glossy stuff, which is quite nice. And obviously they're the two parties which, you know, consider they might win it. I know Labour is sort of saying, well, we did very well in the police election countywide last time.
That's Kevin Price's argument, isn't it, I think? That Labour's, I think of the phrase, Labour is the only candidate that can beat James.
Yes, they're using
Palmer.
They're using little Lib Dem bar charts, of course, which will make Phil grin.
Are they your bar charts that they're
well,
using?
No. Oh, well, you know, bar charts are free for everybody to use.
I guess they possibly are.
But I think Chris and I disagree a little bit about this, because he thinks that the mayoralty is a bit of a foregone conclusion. And indeed, if you look at the political map of Cambridgeshire, there is an awful lot of blue there. But I think, given the voting system, people have two votes. You get a first-choice vote and a second-choice vote. Possibly the second-choice vote might just push one of the other candidates close to the Conservative total. So I think it might be a little bit more exciting.
Somebody senior was suggesting to me that it could go down to the wire, at least in terms of the length of time it takes to count the things, but not necessarily the result.
Yes, I mean, I do feel sorry for the poor campaigners who are just going to be completely exhausted by this lengthy election period. We've got the local elections and then the general election to follow up, and then the two-stage count, which we've had some experience of with the Police and Crime Commissioner elections last year. Does take that little while, and it's all got to be coordinated across the whole.
And we will county. Get to know what each district has voted, won't we? In terms of if Cambridge, for the sake of argument, decides to elect, I guess Kevin Price could be a possible electee in Cambridge, but maybe somebody else in another area goes Lib Dem and the rest is Conservative.
Well, that's certainly happened for the Police and Crime Commissioner election. I assume it'll happen for the mayoral election. We'll see, you know, which districts voted for who and the absolute numbers from all sort of seven districts, are there, or something like that?
Yes, that's six districts,
six,
yes.
Six, okay.
Yes, well, this is where I get to plug my blog. If you search for Phil Rogers Cambridge, you can find detailed analysis of how the different parts of Cambridgeshire voted in the Police and Crime Commission.
What's your hunch then, Phil? As to how it's going to go, is it a foregone conclusion to Conservative? Chris is nodding here. Work on the radio.
I've
Chris.
Got to admit, I'm a Lib Dem member, so take what I say with whatever pinch of salt you fancy.
Yeah, Lewis Herbert said that too. That's very annoying. But carry on.
But I think the key thing is for the non-conservative candidate to get enough second choice votes from whoever gets knocked out to challenge the Conservative, because I don't think the Conservatives will win it on the first round. You have to get 50% to win on the first round, otherwise the top two go through and all the other candidates are knocked out, and then the second choice votes come into play. And what we saw with the Police and Crime Commissioner elections was that not all of those second choice votes are cast effectively, because people need to think about who's actually going to be in the final round and which two of those candidates do I prefer. So if they think about that, then well, maybe the Conservatives could have a run for their money. But absolutely, James Palmer is definitely the front runner, and he's the one to beat.
He doesn't seem to want my vote. I haven't got any leaflet from the Conservatives whatsoever. I've just got the Labour one and the Lib Dem one so far through my little letterbox.
Yeah, no, we've had some nice leaflets. You've got to remember that, you know, in the half dozen or so areas of Cambridgeshire and Peterborough, you know, they're each as big as Cambridge City as a group, and you know, and yet out in East Cams and in Fenland, Cambridge or other ones, yeah, they'll be weighing the vote for James Palmer, not counting it. And you know, there's no alternative being provided by the city to that in terms of, you know, counteracting the balance. I mean, a lot of us in the city will vote for the Labour candidate or the Lib Dem candidate. In fact, you know, it's likely the Conservative will come third in the city. But the difference is going to be negligible compared to this massive majority he's going to get in other areas, and Huntingdon is another area, particularly if the UKIP vote turns out to be a bit softer.
Well, that could be an interesting factor, really, couldn't it?
When it comes to the mayor, I think that could well be a factor. I think, you know, UKIP, you know, will hope to, you know, focus on in the general election on a number of seats, and that's something, and do well and target what they're doing. But the mayoral election, I've met Paul Bullen, their candidate, and he's a very intelligent, bright guy. But I don't think they're holding out a lot of hope for him making much of an impact in this, you know, because the demographics don't work out his way. I think in a lot of the UKIP vote might go to James Palmer. I think it's just going to be an absolute walkover. I will agree with Phil, though. I don't think he's going to make 50% in the first round. But history has shown in these elections that in the second round, people don't really use their vote, you know, very tactically, and they just tend to get, you know...
Do people use their second vote at all? I wonder if sometimes when you have these different voting systems, yeah, it does confuse
people. The numbers show that most do, but not everyone does.
It was only about half, actually, last time.
Was it really?
Effective second choice vote, I think.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So going back to your leaflets, yeah. We've had a big glossy thing in Queen Edith's, which one side of it is all about the mayor election, the other side is all about a local council election. So, you know, actually proper glossy stuff for a local councillor is quite interesting, and Conservatives have pushed the boat out on that one. I assumed that the James Palmer mayoral side was the same everywhere, but I posted something from it online a couple of days ago on Twitter, and people came back to me and said, where did you get that bit from? And I said, well, it's from the James Palmer bit from the big glossy leaflet. And they said, well, it's not on our one. So I think people in the city are getting different James Palmer message to people in South Cambs. I may be wrong.
As long as it's consistent, I know when...
Here's the bit I picked up on, because the reason I tweeted it was because I thought it was an outrageous statement. It said, basically, vote for James Palmer because the Conservatives will get rid of the park and ride parking charges. And I thought, they're just writing out of history. Who invented these things in the first place? You know, how many things can they say, well, we'll invent this and we'll implement it and then vote for us so we can scrap it again? I mean, that's effectively what they're saying, which I thought was just cheeky.
I've got James Palmer coming in to record an interview on Monday of next week. I think we need to swap notes before that to make sure I have a copy of every single one of his election leaflets.
Well, I mean, I think he will probably also say, as regards the park and ride parking charges, that was implemented by the county council, and I don't think he has a lot of time for the county council despite its conservative majority.
I think given the choice, actually, he'd abolish the whole thing.
There is a lot of talk that, you know, in time, effectively, the mayoral position will take over the county council's role, and there are a lot of people that think it will, and I think that would explain one or two of the people in the know who stood for the Conservative Party nomination for mayor, because they know what's coming down the line.
Including Heidi Allen, of course.
Especially Heidi Allen, who know what's coming down the line in 5 or 10 years' time. I think the mayor is going to be very powerful indeed, and we could see, you know, a lot, if not all, the county council's activities subsumed into the mayoral office.
And do we think that people will vote the same way in the mayoral election as they would in the county council election, or the couple of small by-elections which are around?
Well, I think a lot of people will look at how active their local councillor has been and what sort of response they've had to any issues that they've raised and how often they've heard from them. And the local factors really do matter in these contests, particularly in the sort of more closely contested areas. But I think there'll certainly be a great deal of crossover and people following the party line as well. So, yes.
I'd certainly agree with that. People do, in the council election, you know, have some idea of the personalities very often through personal experience, and they will vote for that.
Knock on your door on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, the other thing is...
Walsh gets it when he knocks on my door and realises it's got my house again.
If I can put my own plug in here, tomorrow night in Queen Edith's, we've got hustings for the council. I think we may be the only one in the city for council candidates, which we're doing for the third year now. And it's at 7 o'clock at St. John the Evangelist Church on Hills Road. It promises to be a lot of fun. We're very gentle with the candidates because I do think, you know, people who stand for council County Council, you know, are giving up, offering to give up a lot of their time and effort for to do a public service, and I don't want to, you know, everybody attacking them and making their lives hard. So it's a very friendly thing, but we will, you know, have 50, 100 people there, hopefully, in questioning the four candidates in our particular division.
And just turn up?
Just turn up, yeah, absolutely. One of the props I'm going to use, because I'm going to do a quick bit about the mayoral election, although we're not actually covering it, is to show the difference that you have in a county council election compared to the mayoral election. In a county council election, it's in Queen Edith, which is a typical ward or division in this case, your vote is one of probably about 3,000 that will be cast. You know, you could make a difference. It's possible. In the mayoral election, which will be taken on the same, effectively the same ballot paper, your vote will be one of something like 200,000 plus. And, you know, it's up to you whether you think you can make a difference there. But, I mean, you know, even when you, in the MP's election, the general election coming up, your vote will be one of maybe 60,000 or something like that. No, no, less than that, 50,000 possibly. You know, so...
It does depend on where you live. You know, if you live in Southampton Test or whatever it's called, your vote is probably worth a lot more.
But what I'm trying to say is that your vote in the mayoral election is worth something like a fifth of what it is in the MP election, you know, the parliamentary election. You know, so it's the mayoral election. The chances of any of us really influencing it are minimal. And for that reason, I'm not too fussed about it. But the county council election, now that really does interest me.
Can we have a look at some of those? Phil, as always, on his wonderful blog, has gone through some of the runners and riders. We've mentioned Queen Edith, so I guess we might as well start with Chris's part of town to see how everybody is likely to fare there.
OK, well, in Queen Edith, we have Amanda Taylor, who's been a councillor for the Lib Dems, first elected back in 1994, I think, for the City Council, and she's seeking a seventh term of office. And I think she's definitely the favourite. Things are by no means certain, and all the boundaries in the city are changing a bit for the county. So areas that haven't been in Queen Edith's ward are coming in, and everything's moving moving around a little bit. So it's kind of a bit difficult to tell what's going to happen. But I think Queen Edith is one that the Lib Dems will be hoping to hold on to reasonably easily.
Oh, Chris was pulling a face again.
Well, that's my patch. I wouldn't think it's going to be that easy. There's a number of factors coming in. The pure demographics of the new division, we get 22% of the new division comes from Cherry Hinton and from Coleridge. I think something like that Colin Rosenstiel worked out. Also, we're losing areas to Trumpington, which look to me like they're probably, you know, more likely to be Lib Dem than Labour. If you just throw the numbers into a spreadsheet, it looks very, very close. However, obviously, the Amanda Taylor factor is, you know, as with lots of sitting councillors, is unpredictable.
And she's very well known. She's got a
very
prominent councillor generally.
But obviously, we've had a lot of issues in the area to do with parking and that sort of thing, and cycleways, which come under her jurisdiction, which may or may not have impressed the public generally. So we don't know about that. And then, of course, with the council election, which we can talk about in general, you know, is the national issues, are they going to come in? Are people going to say, you know, I don't care about the councillor, but I just want to vote Lib Dem because of the Brexit thing, or I don't like Jeremy Corbyn, so I'm not voting Labour. I've spoken to both Amanda Taylor and in fact, for all our councillors about this, or candidates rather. And they're not seeing an awful lot of it on the doorstep.
What about the bins? Because this is quite an interesting one, because really that's city and district council.
Yeah, but I think people are
fairly... But people will be voting about it anyway.
They are, but people are fairly clear, certainly around our way, talking to the candidates about, you know, what county councillors are doing. If they're actually prepared to engage, they talk and they know what... And it's all about parking and stuff around our way. So, and I think that may be the case in quite a lot of the city, but I think what's happened yesterday might change things a bit. Suddenly national issues are going to be in people's minds, and I think it may have more of an impact. That won't hurt the Lib Dems, of course, because in Cambridge, the two national issues which are going to come up is, are people going to vote more Lib Dem because of Brexit? Are they going to vote less Labour because of Jeremy Corbyn? I think those issues might have been, you know, pushed to the back a little bit in the council election, but I'm wondering after yesterday whether they might come forward anyway.
I'm intrigued by some of these boundary changes, though. Trumpington, for example, you know, goodness knows, like, do foreign landlords leasing out their properties get a... No, I shouldn't say that, get a vote. but that's an area of the city where there's a bit of new build, and is that the great unknown as to what might happen there?
That's one area where there's certainly a good deal of uncertainty. I think another one is Chesterton, where the two East and West Chesterton seats, at least for the county, are being merged into one, and various other bits going to various other divisions. But Chesterton, I think, is potentially one of the closest battlegrounds this year. It's very difficult to tell what's going to happen there. It's between the Labour and the Lib Dems. But there's a strong campaign organisation on both sides. And Market is another one to watch. That was a three-way marginal 2 years ago, and incredibly close, with three candidates getting almost exactly the same number of votes.
There were four or five votes in it, wasn't there, I seem to remember.
That's right, yes. That's the closest three-way result in Cambridge political history.
Which of the divisions, Phil, are most affected by the boundary changes, which become the most unpredictable in
that sense? The one that's affected most is poor old Coleridge, which has been got rid of entirely and scattered to its neighbours, because we're being reduced from 14 county councillors in Cambridge down to 12, because there's reductions across the whole of the county, so that's certainly affected. There's the only one that isn't actually is Abbey, and all the others there's bits and pieces being moved here and there. Petersfield gains a good chunk of the northern end of Trumpington, so if you're in the Newtown area, you'll find yourself voting in for a Petersfield county councillor, and but still for a Trumpington city councillor, and that's likely to
be. Petersfield is nowhere near Trumpington. How does that work?
Well, Trumpington extended right to the railway station and still does for the city council. It's extraordinary. They've never been able to get the boundaries right for Trumpington, and they still can't. I mean, they've had to just grab a whole chunk of Queen Edith, including the west side of Hills Road, has now gone into Trumpington, which is daft. Yeah. Interestingly, of course, we have to now wait and see if the city council will follow suit and also change its boundaries to match the county
council. One for another day.
Indeed.
I just want to quickly, though, in the time we've got left, talk about some high-profile departures, isn't there? For example, I mentioned Ashley Walsh in Petersfield, who's been the Labour leader on the county council. His chosen not to stand. Does that just mean we get, you know, whoever is standing for him for Labour is going to get his seat, or these boundary changes make the difference in the divisions?
We'll have to see. Yes, Ashley's been group leader on for Labour on the county for a while now, so he's decided to stand down and move on. And in fact, Paul Sales for Arbury, who was the previous group leader for Labour, I think, is also standing down. He's just decided to retire. We also have a by-election, actually, for the city council in Arbury as well, where Charlotte Perry, who's a city councillor there, is moving away to Hong Kong with her husband. So she's decided to stand down so we could have the by-election at the same time. So we'll have at least one new face on the city council after the elections as well.
And one more thing, we should probably talk about the county council in general, because that's, I think, as Phil said, is moving down to 61, is it, or 60 seats?
61, division. Yeah.
They help them pass their finance bill a bit quicker next time around.
Yeah, who knows? But there's really just one issue on the county council, and that is, will the Conservatives go back to having a majority? Because they had a majority for many years, and it really was pretty autocratic the way they ran things with these cabinets and all this sort of stuff. And then the last county council election 4 years ago, everything changed. Lib Dems did all right. UKIP suddenly exploded onto the scene. Actually, the Liberals didn't. That was quite average for them, the last county.
Well, the last county council. This was when UKIP came in. Yeah. They suddenly went up to, I think, 12 or 13, and a lot of their candidates had really done nothing more in the campaign than simply put their nomination papers in and wait for the results. And they'd done no campaigning at all. And I think certainly some of them were pretty surprised to find themselves elected.
Right. And also Labour had very little county council representation before 4 years ago, had they? And then they suddenly jumped up to half a
dozen seats, mainly from the city here.
Their support is always focused on the city, yeah, pretty much, and so, they did go down very
low. So there's really just one issue. Will the Conservatives get the 31 seats on the county council they need to go back to majority? And if they do, we'll get back to this more autocratic style, I suspect, of running things and, you know... In the city, of course, the issue in most divisions is going to be, is it going to be a Labour or a Lib Dem councillor? So that's not going to affect the county council big question at all, because, you know, they're all going to be in opposition whatever happens.
Yeah. It's almost a UKIP factor, really, in the Fens, and what happens with those candidates.
The two things that are going to decide it are, one, can UKIP maintain its vote in the areas where it's got, particularly in Huntington, that sort of area, against the Conservatives? And two, can the Lib Dems make gains, not just in South Cams, but actually in various places across the county against the Conservatives, which they're going to need to do? What happens here in the city is not going to affect the balance of power on the county council at all. So we're reliant on there. But I think the Lib Dems are pretty hopeful out in the wider county that they will make a few gains.
Yes, that's right. I mean, there are definitely... I'm a Lib Dem, so I would say this, wouldn't I? But there are definitely a number of areas where we're hoping to come and take a few seats off the Conservatives. Whether that will be enough to counteract the seats that Conservatives might be taking off UKIP, we'll have to see.
No, but it could be a big change again on the County Council. That's going to be the big question on May the 4th.
May the 4th, Star Wars Day. We look forward to that, and probably even more to May the 5th when we get all the results coming in. Chris, Phil, thank you very much indeed. Chris Rand and Phil Rogers, political bloggers and election analysts both. I should remind you, there are lists of the mayoral candidates on the Cambridge 105 website, where you also find archive interviews from our election studio series. So I'll be speaking to the candidate's representative for the Greens, Jeremy Caddick, on Saturday tea time, 5 o'clock, and also Kevin Price, who is the Labour candidate in the city as well. And there's podcasts for those which have already been broadcast. You'll find those on the website, on what I think we now need to call Apple Podcasts rather than iTunes, and also the radio player as well. We'll do another election panel this time next week, and no doubt before one of the elections we'll invite both Phil and Chris back again.